your Bibles and turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We're going to read together as we begin our study, and then we're going to talk about going first class. But before we start reading, I need to ask, how many of you have ever gone first class? So some of you know what it's about. And some of you are going, are you kidding? That costs a lot of money. Let's talk about a first class trip that I hope you're going to be making. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning with verse 16. For the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Verse 18, therefore comfort one another with these words. We come together, we sing as one another. We enjoy the fellowship of one another. Well, there is another one another that's coming, where those who are fit to be with the Lord will be together, one with another. And he says, because of that, therefore comfort one another with these words. And what's the comfort? Well, the news is that we're going to be going first class. If you go back to verse 16, for the Lord Himself will ascend from heaven with that shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trumpet of God. And notice that the Scripture says, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Significant, isn't it? That the Scripture tells us that the dead in Christ will rise first. And that word first that's used here in the Scripture is an important word. In fact, all of our students who study science and physics and things that relate to that know about a proton making up a piece of the atom. Well, that's the word. In English, we use that word proton in reference to the atom. But here we have in Scripture a word that is significant in that it means first in time, first in place, first in order of importance. And it refers to the chief. Number one, first, standing there in line, number one. It's used in Matthew 6, verse 33, a passage that probably most of us can quote. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. That is significant, because it refers to that first in time, place, and order of importance. It's also used in Romans chapter 3 and verse 1. What advantage then has the Jew? Or what is the profit of circumcision? Verse 2, much in every way. And then note the word. Here's our word. Chiefly. Number one, first, most important, beginning. First of all. Now, how many of you, once again, have had opportunity to go first class? Nowadays, when we think of first class, we think about flying in an airplane, right? And if we go first class, that means we've got the chief seats. We've got the good seats, and we expect to be served if we're paying for first class, because first class normally costs a lot of money. So people pay to be first or to be chief in line in order to fly first class. But here's the good news. If we think about what this passage says and what we learn from this passage, we don't have to worry about having an airplane ticket to fly first class. It's not going to happen. Now, here is a picture of what it meant a few years ago to fly first class. You get folks serving you, and you're seated in the best. You have opportunity to eat of the best. If you pay for it, you're going to get it. And so there you go, your first class. And the airlines try to make it pretty nice if you're able to go first class and if you are able to pay for the ticket. But here is first class in India. They do most of their travel in India on a train. And when Americans go over there, one of the things that Americans are encouraged to do is to go ahead and get a first class place on the train, because the other classes, the second and third class, are not at all tolerable for Americans, primarily because of heat, lack of air conditioning, and just the environment. And so Americans are encouraged to go ahead and pay the price to go first class. And in first class travel on a train over there, you are fortunate enough to have a bunk where you can sleep. And so here's what first class in India on a train looks like. Do you see a little bit of a problem there? I don't know if you can notice this guy up here. He's sleeping. Can you imagine sleeping in shifts? This is first class. Not so good there. Rather crowded usually. And then once you get on to the train that's first class, you do have the benefit of air conditioning if it works. And it's still crowded and you have to pay the conductor usually to have time on a bunk if you want to sleep. Few times you're fortunate enough just to have a few where you can actually enjoy the time to rest and sleep on the train. But they consider this first class. Now this is not first class. Do you see much difference? Not much. Not much difference. Crowded, difficult to travel in. But here's the travel that's going to be good. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, the dead in Christ will rise first. Verse 17, then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And the good news is this, we will not need the airplane. We're not going to need the train, of course, to be able to travel to a place where we can catch an airplane. Because the Lord is going to take care of our ability to go first class. But we have to ask this question, who are those who die in the Lord? And why is that significant? Well, we need to know who it is that's going to be going first class in the air. Revelation 14, verse 13, then I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. From now on, yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works do follow them. This morning we sang songs and focused upon that which is very spiritual, preparing ourselves spiritually for the home that we look forward to in heaven. In Bible class, Randy talked about being prepared for the home in heaven. That's the flight that's going to be essential that you and I take. That we be prepared for the coming of the Lord so that we can be prepared to meet Him in the air in order to go first class. And it starts with being in the Lord. And the question then is, how do we get into Christ? How do we get into the Lord? Well, the plan is simple. We believe. We make the determination because of our faith to repent, to change our lives, to turn from sin and a life of sin, to surrender to Jesus. And then be willing to stand and make that confession that says, I believe that Jesus is the Christ. And then the natural result is to do what they did in Acts chapter 2 and following through the book of Acts. When the gospel was preached, folks believed it. What happened? They were baptized. They were immersed in water. They were baptized, and notice in Galatians 3, 26 and 27, baptized into Christ. Ephesians 1, 22 and 23 tells us that we have a head, and that is Christ. He is the head of the body. And the body is a spiritual body, the body that is owned by Him. Ephesians 4, verse 4, that scripture makes it clear that there is one body. If you go to Ephesians 5, verse 23, that body is the body of the saved, because salvation is in Christ. And a person then is baptized when they believe, repent, confess, they're baptized into Christ. And what happens then? Well, they die to self. Romans 6. Great study. What happens there? Paul talks about us being buried with Christ, wherein we die, and then we're raised to walk in the newness of life. And then Romans 6, verse 11 tells us, likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. So we're born to live in Christ. What happens to sins? They're washed away when we're baptized into Christ. And there we exist in His body, wherein we have access to the hope that is given us so that we can hear the words of the comfort. And when you look at passages of Scripture like 1 Corinthians chapter 15, you learn about those who die in the Lord. They died in a spiritual death, but were made alive again to walk with Christ spiritually. But then the person leaves this physical body and dies physically. Well, what happens? They sleep. Verse 20, Christ is risen from the dead. That's hope for us. Why? Because He's become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Probably most everyone here has been touched by death in your family. And if that person who died was in Christ and walked with Christ, then there is hope for that person that they're sleeping in Christ. Why? Because of what Christ did for us. And because of that, we have, number one, the promise that the dead in Christ rise first, chief, first in line, foremost, number one, primarily. The dead in Christ will rise first. They're going first class. Class just simply refers to the group. They're going first. And that's what Paul is saying to the church in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And that's a promise that you and I look forward to. That the dead in Christ will rise first. If you turn to 1 Corinthians 15. Verse 20 is a very important verse to have knowledge of. But now Christ is risen from the dead. It has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Verse 21, for since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. A few years ago, we were living in Oklahoma. I got a phone call. A young lady fell off the back of a pickup truck. But unfortunately for her, she was never baptized into Christ. And that was difficult because we knew that she was interested. But yet we knew she hadn't done what she needed to do in order to be in Christ. And so there was a missing element of hope. But then again, I think about those who do die in Christ. Just recently, I went down for a funeral of one of the members of the church, Ward Street Church of Christ there in Harding. It was a time of celebration. And the reason why is because that person had been baptized into Christ. It was interesting because it was years and years ago that he was baptized. I think it was in the 50s. And one of the things that his wife had for me was his little book that he got that had the little certificate that gave the year and time of his baptism. And now that I think about it, I think it was actually 1947, not the 50s. That man died in hope. Hope to meet the Lord in the air, to go first class. And look, verse 23, but each one in his own order. Christ the first fruits after those who are in Christ at His coming. But then again, we go back to the question, what about those who are not in Christ? Well, they don't live with that hope. In fact, as you look at John 5, verse 29, those who have done good to the resurrection of life, those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. There's not hope there. It's talking about the time when those who sleep will reach the point that the graves will be opened. Those that are not prepared do not have that great hope that we have. And here's also another great promise regarding the fact that we're going first class. It really doesn't matter how we get to dead in Christ. As long as we died in this life with Christ in the spiritual birth, of being buried into Christ, raised to walk in that newness of life, it doesn't matter how we go in reference to being dead physically. Because if we're dead in Christ, God's taking care of it. It's interesting that Scripture in Revelation 20, verse 13, points out the reference to those who die, and they die in the sea. Some of you like to follow history. You keep up with history, particularly related to military history. And you know people die terrible deaths in the military. Some die at sea, never to be recovered. But with God, it doesn't matter if we die in the sea, because we live with hope. And what kind of hope is that? That we're going to be there with the Lord, first class, in the air. Now, in Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 19, we read an interesting passage of Scripture, because it tells us that what happens to the sons of men happened to animals. You might think, what are you talking about? Well, one thing befalls them. As one dies, so dies the other. Surely they have all one breath. Man has no advantage, he says, over animals for all his vanity. What's he talking about? Verse 20. All go to one place. All are from the dust and return to the dust. Verse 21. Who knows the spirit of the sons of men which goes upward and the spirit of the animal which goes down to the earth? Do you see what he's talking about? Just like the animals, we're born and we die and we return to the dust. And that's life. We start out, we live, we get older, then we die. But for those of us who are in Christ, for those of us who are Christians and walking with the Lord, we don't fear going to the dust, do we? Because we know that God's got it taken care of. But someone says, well, how? 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33, someone will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? You think about it. Somebody dies in the sea. They become fish food. Someone burns in a fire. They turn to dust rather quickly. What about them? How are the dead raised up? With what body do they come? 1 Corinthians 15, verse 44 gives a very significant answer. It is sown a natural body, that is a body that goes to dust. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. When you get on an airplane, you get on a physical body. You go into a tube that looks like it's smaller than it ought to be, but then some of them appear pretty large, but yet it's just a physical tube. And that tube flies because it has wings. And you can sit on that airplane in the cheap seats, or you can go the first class if they have that and they sell it to you. And it does its job. God never created this body to go first class, did He? Not going to. In fact, when I look in the mirror, I know definitely this is not a first class body. But I know one day the Lord's got a first class reservation if I walk faithfully with Him. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 50. Now I say, brethren, the flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. At the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For the corruptible must put on incorruption. That which goes to dust will be changed, and this mortal must put on immortality. I hope your goal is to go first class. Because if you go first class, you go with the promise that God will bring the dead with Him. Now you think about it. Man returns to dust. If a man does that as a Christian, then there's hope and promise. That soul is in the hands of God. In 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 13 and 14, I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep. Because they were asking the question, what about those who are dead when Christ comes again? He says, don't worry about them. Don't sorrow as others who have no hope. Verse 14, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with Him those who sleep in Jesus. The souls are in the hands of God. That's first class, isn't it? It doesn't get any better than that. And that's why I'm here to encourage you to make sure that your soul is ready to travel. Because God is going to bring the dead with Him. Verse 49, 1 Corinthians 15. Just as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the man of heaven. And I like the ESV translation of that passage. Do you see what it's saying? Just as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the man of heaven. God is fitting us for spiritual existence for eternity. That's first class. It doesn't get better than that. So we have to ask the question, why fly first class? Last time I flew in coach, I think is what they called it, I wished I was in first class. I felt like I was folded up like an accordion. And have you noticed that the seats were made for kids? I was thinking about Weight Watchers the whole time I was flying. First class sounded pretty good. Well, why go first class spiritually? Because the dead in Christ are going to be clothed. And they're going to be clothed with the best. Because that body, the physical body that's sown in corruption, is going to be raised incorruptible. It's going to be raised to a spiritual body. And I look forward to that time because Scripture tells us that we're going to be clothed properly with white robes. Revelation 7, verse 9, beautiful passage. After these things I looked and behold a great multitude, which no one can number, of all nations, tribes, people, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. Here we have the scene of the picture of heaven. And look at the clothes. It's the best. Clothed with white robes. And it's not a hospital gown, folks. It's dressing prepared from God. Last time I was in one of those white hospital gowns, there wasn't enough of it. God's going to make sure we're clothed properly. Revelation 7 makes that clear. In fact, in verse 13, we read this question. Then one of the elders answered, saying to me, who are these arrayed in white robes and where did they come from? Where did they come from? Well, I want you to turn with me, if you would, to Revelation 7. We're going to read just a moment before we close. Verse 14, and I said to him, sir, you know. So he said to me, these are the ones who come out of the great tribulation and washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. That's talking about the birth that we have in this life in Christ. What happens when we go into that water as the old man of sin? We die. And we come in contact with that cleansing blood of Jesus Christ. And then we come out white, made pure in the blood of the Lamb. In verse 15, therefore they are before the throne of God and serve Him day and night in His temple, and who sits on the throne will dwell among them. Look at the promise. We serve the Lord here as children of God, and we have that promise that we're going to be before the Lamb forever and ever. And look at verse 16, they shall neither hunger anymore nor thirst anymore. The sun shall not strike them nor any heat. For the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will shepherd them and lead them to the living fountains of water. What a picture. And if you look at it in this life, here we're led by Christ because of His Word and what He's done for us. And because of the life that we have in Christ. But we look forward to the first class life. Where we walk in the presence of God. And I love the latter part of verse 17, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Even as Christians, we can't escape the time of tears, can we? It happens. Because people die. People get sick. We struggle emotionally with this, that, or the other. But up there, it's going to be wonderful. It truly is a first-class place. And who's going? Those who are clothed in the best. So here's the question I want to end with this morning. Are you going first class? They might, when you first see that question, go, huh, I don't care. I'm okay in sitting in the cheap seats. Well, did you notice during this lesson that there's no cheap seats? I've heard people say, well, I'll just barely get in heaven just by the skin of my chin, chin, chin. Folks, that's not fair, is it? We choose to either go first class or we don't go. So we must make the right decision. And that means preparing in this life, doing what the Lord wants us to do, because He is going to come again. It's going to be with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet of God. Folks are going to know it. And we need to be prepared to go first. We don't want to be a part of the no-fly zone, do we? So once again, what about you? What about your life? Are you going first class? Terry, I know, is preparing for it, aren't you, Terry? He's been over here smiling, shaking his hand. He's looking forward to first class. Folks, don't be a part of the no-fly zone. You don't want to be a part of that one. So this morning, we're going to stand. We're going to sing an invitation song. The plan of salvation is simple. It's plain. It's clear. And if you're here and you know what you need to do but haven't taken the step to do it, then why not make the right decision? And maybe as a Christian, you've turned your back on walking faithfully with the Lord. Do you know it? We may not know it, but you know it. You know if you're prepared for first class. If we can help you in any way, why not respond? As we stand and sing, would you come?